Good evening, class. Good evening, class. Today we're going to begin a new segment of teaching. Let's see. Turn your Bible with me to Ephesians 4. That's going to be a scripture that we're going to look at that's going to bring the whole lesson to context. But we're going to be talking about, still on the spiritual authority, through the church, the nation to become the kingdom of to become God's kingdom. Through the church, the nations to become God's kingdom. Now, I'm going to make a statement. It's a profound statement, but God, there's no impossibility with God. But God needs us as much as we need him. Because we are instruments for him to carry out his divine will within the earth realm. I say that very carefully because sometimes we think God can't do without us. God can certainly do without us if he chooses to. I remember when the children was crying out to God and the people were trying to stop them, and Jesus made a step and he said, if you stop them, God would make these stones cry out unto me. So God can do without us, but he needs us. He would like for us to willfully to serve him. And with that being said, and I'm trying to prelude this lesson because I will make correct statements and I will be accurate in what I say. But this statement I'm about to make, I want you to understand it clearly. We're not saying we're indispensable, but God will love to use us if we permit him to. Now, let's not just statement closely. If the church refuses to accept God's authority, God has no way to establish his kingdom. Now, it almost sounds like if we don't do what God needs us to do, God can't establish his kingdom. But God is God, and he always has a way to establish his kingdom. What he decides to use us as the particular individual. Remember, he tried to use Saul to establish his kingdom. So Saul disobeyed. You know what he does? He found another person that's going to obey. He found a David. So I don't want to say we're indispensable, but God always got a ram in the bush. God always got somebody else that's willing to go. So I choose to be willing. What about you? I choose to obey. What about you? Now, so I'm going to read that statement again. If the church refuses to accept God's authority, God has no way to establish his kingdom. Now, I want you to understand that with everything else rightfully in place, that it is the church's job to establish his kingdom upon earth. And God chooses to use the church to do so. And he will use the church to do so. Whether we include it or not, he will use the church to establish his kingdom. And that's the way God is. That's said and done. God will prevail. Jesus will prevail with the kingdom. And God will bring this thing to an end with everything that he designed it to do. But you should make sure we want to be in on this. We don't want to be left out. God chose us to do specific tasks, and we fail to fulfill the task that God designed for us to do. I don't want to say I failed. I don't want to say I started out, but I couldn't finish. No, I want to be part of what God's called me to do. I want to fulfill God's plan upon earth. And you need to say the same thing. You need to say, matter of fact, say it with me. I will fulfill God's plan upon this earth. Amen. So be it. Now, with that being said, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I remember reading this a while back or sometime back. And I didn't have the same perception that I have now concerning the church, the works of the church. You know, sometimes we think too much individual. Sometimes we don't see the whole scheme of things. We don't see the whole picture that God wants us to see when we concern the church. We just see our four and no more. We see the church got into a place once where it was, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. Oh, bless me and my four and no more, Lord. No, but it's bigger than that. God is bigger than you and your four, me and my four. No, God wants us to rise up and see the kingdom work. And that's why I'm so thankful for Apostle. Oh, I lift my hands up every time to thank God for Apostle, because of bringing the apostolic back to the church, bringing the kingdom business back to the church, putting first thing first, bringing us back. Let me slow down a little bit. Bringing us back to our first love. I'm so glad the apostolic has kicked in our life, and we see God's plan as clear as it never been seen before. So in Ephesians 4, verse 11, we read that scripture many times, but my eyes the last few years have been open. The 11th verse said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? 12th verse said, for the perfecting of the saints. One translation said, for the maturing of the saints. We need to be matured. God is taking away the pacifiers. God is getting the crybabies out of the church. Not getting them out of the church, but he brings them to a place where they begin to grow up in the things of God. For the work of the ministry. You see that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify means for the building up, for the enlargement of the body of Christ. The church is not near where it should be, spiritually nor numerically. So the church has to be built up. The church has to grow not only in numbers, but in spiritual maturity and revelation of what the Lord Jesus wants. For the building up the body of Christ. Now listen to 13th verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, matured man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The church got to come to the place where we get such a maturity that we begin to resemble Christ. If you begin to see him and the full body working together, every joint supplying, everybody putting in, no envy, no strife, no division, but a church working together as a all machine, perfectly. Every part working together, functioning properly, like it should be. That's the picture. That's the ideal picture of the church. When the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, say, do this, the whole church get together and begin to move in that direction. And when God said, do this, the whole church, through the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, began to move in harmony and oneness of the body and began to obey God and get the work done upon the earth. That's when the unity of the faith began to flow into operation. And we're not, everybody's not going to be in agreement, but when God's spirit began to move, the church as a whole going to begin to move in that direction as the body of Christ began to learn to obey him like they should. Now, this next statement here. So we got to come to unity of the faith. God's way of obtaining, I'm going to get it straight. God's way of obtaining his kingdom is first in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, God brought obedience through his son. We've been over that scripture, that Philippians 2, then Hebrews 5 and 8, talk about how he learned obedience through the things he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation. And so Jesus became the author of obedience. And so when he secured obedience through Christ first, then he brought obedience to the church. And then as the church began to mature, lastly, the whole world, the church began to mature and then bring redemption or salvation, or the kingdom of God to the world. You see it? You see it? Matthew 28 gives a good idea of what Jesus wants to do. See, I'm seeing the full picture of this redemption, but it has to be through the church, organize itself through the apostolic and going through the plan of the redemption as God will it to be. Now, Matthew 28, I see it. I'm going to look at it. I really didn't have it in my notes to go there, but I think we need to go there. Matthew 28. I'm trying to slow down a little bit. Help me to slow down, Lord. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we call it. Jesus is going to tell us just exactly what he wants the church to do. And notice, he's not asking us this. When the church becomes matured, God gets to the place of commanding certain things. Command. Can you imagine a military officer asking his soldiers, will you please get your weapon and go out on the battlefield for me? I would greatly appreciate it. No, he doesn't do no such thing. But he commands his soldiers. So we're in the army. And sometimes we want to be treated like with kid glove. But no, when the church mature, the apostolic can command some things. Yes, that's a strong word. No, it's not dictatorship, but there's a commanding force that comes with the gospel, and it comes with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you a picture of it right here. Look at the 19th verse. Look at the 18th verse. Let's start at the 18th verse. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That 19th verse, look what it said. Will you please go, therefore, and teach all? No, he didn't say, will you please go? This is a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go, therefore. He said, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you. I'm trying to get that place. Whatsoever I have commanded you. See, that's commands that come from the scripture. When you submit it to authority properly, your pastor, see, this religious word is messed up. It messed up so much. Try to mess up apostolic. You get to a place where you can be commanded to do certain things. Yes, God commands some things. Your pastor, your leader, I mean, I'm not talking about just taking advantage of the authority, but let their words become a commandment unto you. Yeah, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about bossing you. But let the word become spirit and life unto you. So when they give you a revelation from the Lord, let it be spirit and life, and just like a commandment from God, commanding us to do certain things. And I wish I could explain this better than I am. It's more caught than taught. Yeah, I catch it. When my apostle tell me something, it's like a command. Even though he's not commanding, it's like I take it as a command. I wish you get this. I can't explain it as well as I can say it, but it's kind of hard. You got to catch this revelation. Authority has to be caught. Divine leadership has to be caught, and you can't teach it. The spirit of submission catches divine words, and it becomes commandment. Revelation turned the word of God into a commandment. You see it? Turn my pastor, my apostle word into commandments unto me. Even though he's not dictating, even though he's not forcing me, but the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ began to make it a commandment and press it upon my heart and become a burden unto me to do what the will of the Lord. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I ask the Lord to help you to understand what I'm trying to say. It becomes a command, and not just something you do when you feel like it. It's not something you just lay on the side and say, when I get to it, I'm going to get to it. Or when I get some free time. No, it becomes, I'll tell you what, we started this, Apostle started the campaign, evangelism campaign on the witnessing app that we have. And he made a statement yesterday, because he wanted the whole body of Christ, especially the word of Christ, Word of Life Christian Center, to get in on it. And he made a statement. He said, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you to get involved. See, that's revelation. So some people misunderstand that statement. They say, what is he doing? He's telling people what to do. No, this is by revelation. You got to catch this. If your spirit ain't trained enough, if you ain't matured enough to catch it, then you're going to go over your head and then you're going to try to rebel against it. No, revelation is receive. You see it? And so that's a command from God. It's part of the end time work to be done. Evangelism, going to all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I don't mean to stay here that long, but it's important to know when authority has revelation from God. It has to be forced out. I'm trying to get you to understand that. We got to take it by force. And some things you just can't mess around with. Sometimes you just got to move in on it by faith. Say, Lord, I understand everything, but this direction you want to go, let's go. Hup, 2, 3, 4, let's go. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we got to get the feet moving. Get yourself to moving into the direction that the vision is going. Find out which way the vision is going in your church, and then hook up with the apostolic, with your pastor, with your leadership, and say, this is the way it's going, let's go. And let that be an amen behind that, so you don't have to be frustrating yourself in the flesh, trying to figure everything out. Everything not figured has to be figured out. I'm trying to slow down, but there's so much I need to try to say. 20th verse there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, you won't be by yourself, he said. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. I went there because it's so important to know what the church responsibility is, especially in these last days. God is trying to get something to us, through us, for him, for his sake, and for our sake in these last days. Now I got to go to another scripture now. I'm prompted by the Spirit of God to go to this one. See, sometimes you got to convince people with the word. Let's go to Mark. Mark 10 chapter. You're going to see something here. See, this not in my notes particular, but you need to see this because this assignment that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the apostolic, is so important that we need to catch a hold of this. And that's why this spiritual authority lesson is so powerful, because it lets us know that the Lord himself has to have a certain amount of obedience within the church, then he has to get the individual's heart. See, I can't speak for the whole church, but I can speak for me. Joshua said, choose the whom you're going to serve. And for me and my house, we're going to do what the Lord say. We're going to serve the Lord. And it's not a question about if I'm going to do it. I don't have to call my neighbor to see am I going to flow in my apostle. I don't have to get 12 revelations out of the Bible to see whether I got to flow in my apostle. He says it. I believe he's following God and I'm with him. Amen. So be it. Amen. So be it. Amen. I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to slow down. Now, look what happened here. In this 10th chapter here. In this 10th chapter, you need to see what happened. I'm trying to find my place here. But the disciples want to know something to do with this rich young ruler here. He had obeyed all the commandments. But what happened? He had a problem with his riches and doing what Jesus said. I'm going to begin at this. Let's look at this statement here. The 23rd verse. Jesus made a statement here. And look at the 23rd verse. I'm keep backing up. Well, the rich young ruler, Jesus told him, go sell. Jesus didn't ask him. It was a command. He said, go thy way and sell all that thou have. Mark 10 and 21. And Jesus behold him, loved him, and said to him, one thing thou lacking, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give unto the poor, and then thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. You see, that was a command that from the Lord Jesus Christ for him to obey. And guess what? He could not obey. He didn't have the revelation in his heart to know why Jesus was saying this. If he only knew. Oh, if he only knew. And this now he tried to explain this principle to his disciples here in the 22nd verse. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. I like what the apostle said. See, he didn't only have great possession, but the great possession had him. That's the difference here. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples. Now, he don't want them to make the same mistake this rich young ruler did, because the rich young ruler did not have eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to understand. So, but he expected more out of his disciples because he's training them by himself with his own words. He trained them, personally trained them. He said, how hardly shall them that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, what have we been talking about? We're talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus is trying to get this kingdom of God upon the earth into the hearts of men and now to the nation. The church, he got the kingdom come to this church first, and then it goes to the nation. The church brings the kingdom to the nation. God had to use the church to bring the kingdom to the nation. But we don't want to refuse this, you see. Now, 24th verse there. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He said it wasn't impossible. He said, but he got to learn how to strip himself of things and not let things have them, but you have those things and don't let the things have you. And they were astonished out of measurement. Out of measurement. Never heard nothing like this before. Saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Say this with me. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I'm trying to get something in you. Then Peter began to say, this is what I want to get you here. This is what Peter trying to say. Now, evidently, they were not broke disciples. They were used to having wealth. They were businessmen, used to having wealth. And now we're wondering, is this the Bless Me Club? The church is not a Bless Me Club. See, an apostle had been teaching the church, we're not a Bless Me Club. The kingdom of God first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to it. So Jesus is trying to get this revelation to him. And he said, began to say unto them, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Remember Jesus said, when he was called and said, come and follow me. He was giving them command to get into the kingdom so that he could get the kingdom in them. See, it's one thing to be in the kingdom, but when the kingdom is in you, it's become a revelation. And so now, when the kingdom comes in you, a spirit of obedience comes in you because Christ is the kingdom and the kingdom comes in us. But he won't take this kingdom that's in us and bring it to the nation. That's where evangelism come in. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children. Look at you naming all these things. All land for my sake and for the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, though, and in the world to come eternal life. Jesus, if you listen to me and you obey me, you think you left all. No, you didn't leave all. I'm going to call all to come to you when you leave all. I hope you catch that. When you leave all, I call all to come to you. Seek ye for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the point is that it's not a Bless Me Club. When we be busy about our Father's business, then God's going to take care of our business and call all these things that the Gentiles seek to come to us. Now, I don't want to spend too much more time on this. I got so much notes to cover. But I'm trying to get the understanding that we're to take, the church is supposed to take this gospel to the world, and it only comes to obedience. That's why apostles stressed the vision of World Light Christian Center. Yeah, chain the light of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And we're the home of covenant women. That's the threefold revelation of the vision. And he follows those vision. He follows those things real close and precise. And we're watching as the Holy Ghost begin to unfold the vision. I see it more clear now than I did yesterday. And I'm going to see it more clear tomorrow than I do today. Because it keeps unfolding. It keeps unfolding. And so we're valuable unto the Lord. But can the Lord do with us? Yeah, he'll pick somebody else. He'll give to David. He'll get Joshua. I mean, he'll find somebody to follow. He'll get the 10 Hebrew boys, not 10 Hebrew boys, the 12 spies. 10 couldn't make it. But the Joshua and Caleb, they saw the vision. You see it? You see, we be well able. So let be a Joshua and Caleb. When others don't see the revelation, when others don't want to go, say, Lord, send me, I'll go, get a revelation so you understand which way the church is fitting to go. Now, let me read Revelation 12 and 11, and it goes all the way to the 15th verse. Revelation 12 and 11 11 begin at the 12th verse, all the way through the 15th verse, but I'm going to surmise this scripture here, but read it for yourself. Revelation 11, 12 through 15, he's showing you that Jesus' desire is to get the kingdom of God to the world. Look, I'm going to read it out of our textbook because it's condensed it and bring it home to what we're trying to get in the lesson. We're trying to make it part of our lesson. We're not skipping scriptures, but we're composing it where you can see where the sum of all things is in this scripture right here. Revelation 11, 12 says, and the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, he shall reign forever and ever. He's getting the kingdom to the world. And look, if Jesus said this, so shall it be. God's kingdom is going to be going to go out to this world, whether you're part of it or not, whether I'm a part of it or not. I decide to be a part of it. What about you? I'm going to do it through obedience. I'm going to make my mind up. Matter of fact, my mind is already made up. And one of my daily prayers, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this world and in my life. Let your will be done in me. And then another thing I pray, Lord, let me fulfill my course. Apostle Paul said it. He said, I finished my course. I said, Lord, let me fulfill my race. Let me run my full course. I want to do everything you assigned me to do because I want to obey you in every turn. Yeah, I might miss a turn here and there, but help me get back on track when I miss it. Amen. Now, point number four, the church occupies the place between the kingdom found in the person of the Lord Jesus. That way it first started at, the church occupies the place between the kingdom found in the Lord, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the further extension of the kingdom to be found when the world becomes the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. What are you saying there? The church is sandwiched right between the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing the kingdom of God to earth, and then we are the church. And then the church, it takes this kingdom that Jesus is putting in us and putting in our hearts, and we bring this culture out to the world. So we're sandwiched. We are an instrument that has been sandwiched by God to take the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring it to the nations of the world. That's the sum of all things. That's the end of Christ's assignment, taking the gospel of the kingdom and bringing it to the ends of the world. bring it to the earth. That's Jesus' whole assignment for the church. But there's so many other things going between it, you see it? But the whole assignment is obeying God and going to all the world and preaching the gospel, then Jesus is going to hurry and return. The kingdom must be found in the Lord Jesus Christ before it can be established in the church. It needs to be implanted in the church before it can be secured among the nation. So the spirit of obedience has to be implanted within the heart of the church. That's why Apostle began the school, so he can pass his anointing upon the churches and people whom God has called under his ministry, under his assignment to go forward with the gospel. Yeah, yep, he's implanting this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into the hearts of men, in the hearts of women, to take this gospel and take it to the further ends of the world. Yes, this is the part that we have to play. And God has called you into this assignment, you see, because you're in the school. You've been called into this great assignment. You're partakers of this apostolic. You see, you're partakers of Apostle Thompson's apostolic calling. See, we have this anointing upon us, too, to take this. I'm not saying you're an apostle, but yet the apostolic anointing rests upon you, upon me, to take this gospel. And to take this word of God. That's why you're in this class. Not just to say make passing grades. Not just to say I made 100 or I made a 50. No, that's not what we're talking about. If you get the revelation, you made 100. You see what I'm saying? If you get the revelation of what apostle and the instructors are telling us and telling you that even though you may fail a written test, make sure you pass the spiritual test. Make sure you pass the revelation that God is trying to bring before us. Amen. Slow down, Ronald. All right. So, there can be no church. Listen to this now. Listen to this closely. This is the way God thinks. This is what God thinks. This is the way God sees things. There can be no church without the Lord Jesus. Sure can't. And there can be no further extension of God without the church. You see how that flows together? There could be no church without Jesus, but yet there could be no further extension of the kingdom of God without the church. God needs us, but can you do without us? Yes, he'll rise up another person. God's church will be fulfilled. God's ministry of the kingdom will be established, whether you're in it or not. All I say, pray that you may obey. Let this revelation of obedience sink in your heart. Let this revelation of your pastor as he further his revelation in you to be partakers of the kingdom and partaker of his anointing, let it take part of your heart so you can take the baton and help run with him. You can do like Moses, Aaron, the hell up Moses' arm when he was in battle. Every time he held it up, Israel prevailed. And every time he went down, the Philistine prevailed. And so their job was to help hold Moses' hands up. And our job is to hold our spiritual hands, our spiritual men and women hands up so they can keep on doing battle for the Lord. Yes, hold their hands up. Your name don't have to be called. Ronald held Apostle Thompson's hand up on the 23rd of May. No, that ain't what you're talking about. No. Get in the way, get out the way. And people want their name called. People want their ministry taken off. But you forget about your ministry and you fulfill what your apostle or your pastor was trying to do in this work of God and God to make sure that you get blessed. I don't know where all these titles come from anyway. I know God gave the fivefold ministry, but I don't have to have a title to do what I do. No, I just pray and obey. And that should be the job of the church. If you in a listed army of the Lord, then all you want to do is obey. Yep. Take your sword in your hand and put your armor on and say, where's the battle? Show me where the battle at. And then you're ready to go to work. Just go to work. That's all I'm trying to say. Just go to work and leave all the little small stuff. Leave that alone. Trying to figure out what I'm called to do. What's my title? Forget all that small stuff and just go to work. It's time for the church to go to work and we become one as a nation and hold our leaders' hands up. Yeah, it's just time to go to work. Amen. I say that 3 times. That's enough. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Let's move on. While on earth, the Lord obeyed in every minor matter. For example, he paid the temple tax. Having need of money, he demanded the shekel from the mouth of a fish. Again, when asked on another occasion about paying silver taxes, he affirmed, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. That's in Matthew 22:21. Although Caesar was a rebellious person, he was nonetheless set up by God. Consequently, he must be obeyed. So Jesus obeyed even the civil government to show us that all authority belongs to him. And so there's no authority without him. And so if he obeyed all the authorities, that means we should obey all the authorities. He's our example of leadership. Our Lord then rise up. Our Lord, let me back up. After we have fully obeyed our Lord, we'll then rise up and deal with those who disobey through our obedience to the kingdom. Let me read this over again. After we have fully obeyed, our Lord will then, that I got it now. After we have fully obeyed, talking with us as a church, as an individual, our Lord will then rise up and deal with those who disobey through our obedience, the kingdom shall be extended to the whole earth. Did you understand that? Yeah. God gonna deal with the one that disobey. You disobey. Today, listen at this now. This is very good here. Today, though many are sensitive to sin, yet not to rebellion. We're sensitive to sin. What does that mean? We make a mistake. Lord, forgive me. Lord, if y'all confess my sin, you favor, just forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We're very sensitive to just sin. Yeah, we won't keep our heart right. But there's another thing that's worse than that. We got to be sensitive to rebellion. Men ought to have a sense of authority as well as a sense of sin. To be deficient in sin deprive one from living as a Christian. I'm going to read that again. To be deficient in sensing sin. In other words, if I'm not sensitive when I make a mistake, then I won't repent readily. I won't readily repent, and it'll hurt my Christianity. It'll hurt my walk. It'll put a stench on my walk with God. But so the same thing is, to lack insistent authority disqualify him as an obeyer. I'm at the close right there. If I'm lacking in my sensitivity to sin, and then I won't walk and have my integrity as a Christian and be lacking in my Christian walk, it's just as bad as to be insensitive to authority disqualify me as an obeyer. If I don't understand authority, I'm going to be disqualified. God will say, I never knew you. My goodness. You're workers of iniquity. If you don't obey God, it's almost like you're a worker of iniquity. Your work become vain. You're just saying a lot of things and doing nothing. Yeah, Lord, go. Lord said go, and he don't go. But one of them, I don't know who obeyed. That's a parable Jesus taught right quick. He said, he told one go, he didn't go. Then the other one, he told go, and he said, no, Lord, I ain't going. Then he went. Which one obeyed? They said the latter, the one that disobeyed and went. Well, I don't be the one that say I'm going and don't go. Yeah, Lord, and don't do it. No, I want to be an obeyer. So class, but this is the last thing I can get for you this afternoon. Remember, God is trying to take the church, which includes us, to the nation. And we pray that we become an and asset to the kingdom of God through our obedience. Class, I enjoyed teaching. I'm going to slow down a little bit more next time, but you're a good listener. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.